This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving. Unashamed and unafraid, 'cause I believe you mean it when you say, I am strong, beautiful, I am good enough. I belong after all, 'cause of what you've done. This is real, what I feel, no one made it up. I am loved. Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I'm so grateful and thankful to be with you today. And, you know, I don't know about you, but it just seems like as the days keep going and the years keep flowing, that I seem to be getting busier and busier and busier. And there seems to be more and more things that can take away time, that just zap you from time. And it's very difficult to prioritize. It's very difficult to get rid of the clutter so that you can focus on what you need to focus on, because we're all not supposed to do everything. And I have to remind myself of that. Being a working woman and a businesswoman and a business owner, I find that, you know, I can walk down the corridor and monkeys tend to jump on my back. But I have to choose to have those monkeys not jump on my back. And the question I ask is, am I the only one that can take care of this problem, or is there somebody else in my organization that can? And if somebody else can, I need to deliver that to them, because each one of us, each one of you, were given gifts. And not all the things, not all the monkeys that tend to try to jump on my back are the gifts that I flow freely in. So it's important that I decide if I'm the best person for this. Now, mothers, I'm a mother, and I can remember back when my children were little, and I had to take my turn in the nursery, because that's what we do. We take time in the nursery because we all have to give. And I can remember being asked to make cupcakes for class and do this and do that. I know you're smiling right now, moms, because you know that there are so many things that we can be asked to do to volunteer for. So what I'm going to say to you is something that I had to learn a long time ago, is that I had to learn this word that our kids don't like and they tend to use very often, is no. It's a two-letter word. And it's no because, not no because we're mean, not no because we're unkind, not no because we don't want to give and be a servant, because we do. We all do. We have a heart so big as moms and as dads. But we have to decide what our gifts are. You know, for me, cooking meals would not be my best gift. Baking, I'm a little better. But there's other things that maybe I could even contribute more in, just using and working in my gifts. So I hope you're hearing what I'm saying here. It's not to not be helpful and not to give and not be a servant. And it's not to just never say yes. It's just to let's think about it and let's really decide if this is the best use of your individual time. It's really important. So today's message is the master plan for taking back control of your life. Because no matter where you are in your life, no matter what responsibilities are yours at this moment in time, it changes, it evolves, seasons change, and so do our lives. And I want to embrace every step of the way, and I'm hoping, because I can think back. I think back, you know, even if I went all the way back to kindergarten. Let's go back there for a minute, okay? Go back to kindergarten. And when you were in kindergarten, there were things you learned. And one of the things that I didn't want to do was take a nap. And now I would give anything to take a nap, right? But when you're back then, it's like we needed to take a nap because we needed that downtime. And don't we need downtime now? More than ever, don't we need downtime? To take a nap in the middle of the day sounds like, are you kidding me? But if you go to Spain, guess what? They do that every day. The schools close down. They even bus their kids back home in the middle of the day for 2 hours, and then they come back again. Now, to me, that doesn't make any financial sense, but that's the way they work. Their stores close down for 2 hours. Everything is different there. Are they more productive than us? I don't know, but when I was there visiting, I can tell you I felt like I got 2 days in one. I truly felt like I was doing 2 days in one. So we need to think about these things and just think about what's important, how to prioritize, and how to take back control of our lives. We do need to take care of ourselves. And if we don't take care of ourselves, just like when you're in the airplane and they say, take your air mask and put it over your face first. It is truly true that we need to do that. We need to take care of ourselves first. So moms, I am giving you a privilege. I'm giving you the excuse or the freedom to say, I need time for a Calgon moment. I need time to have time for me. Because if I take this little time, whether it's in prayer, whether it's taking a nap, whether it's just reading something to help me be better, reading the Bible, praying, take that time to do that. Just take time to breathe. And when you do this, I just know that you're going to be better to put that air mask on your child next to you, because you're going to have that air, enough oxygen, enough rest, enough breath to where you're going to be able to give to your children and to your husband and to your church family and to maybe if you're working. You need to do that. And men, the same thing. We tend to just go gusto so much, and we just need to take some time. So I'm just telling you, you know what? If you take the time, like Jesus, he went away, right? He went away because he needed rest. He took time away. He needed to do that. So do we. So do that. Take back the control of your life. So I'm going to read a little bit by a little thing that I got here by Tony Schwartz. And it's, here's the problem we face every day of our lives. Nearly everything that generates enduring value requires effort, focus, and even some discomfort along the way. At the same time, we're deeply wired to avoid pain, which the body reads as mortally dangerous, and to move toward pleasure, the more immediate, the better. We're also exposed to more temptation than ever. The world is literally at our fingertips, a few keystrokes away. It's forever beckoning us. You know what I'm talking about, right? And then we have this, you know, this thing saying, okay, just go ahead, have the dessert. That's simple pleasure, right? Skip the workout, put off the hard work, surf the web, check your email, indulge your whims, settle for the easy way out. And the evidence is clear that we have one reservoir of willpower. It's highly limited resource, and it gets depleted by every act that requires its use. So how do we take back control of our lives? What follows are the key moves we can make. It's not all or none. More is better, but each one will help. So I like to have little 1, 2, 3, 4s, okay? So I'm going to give you some of those. You ready? Number one is make more of your behaviors automatic. One of my behaviors is I like to have coffee in the morning. Is that good or bad? I don't know. I guess it's a matter of preference and reference and all of that, but it is a behavior that has become automatic with me. Taking a bath at the end of the day, taking a shower in the morning. These are behaviors. Because our willpower is so limited, our best defense is to rely on it less. Civilization advances by extending the number of operations we can perform without thinking about them. A ritual is a highly precise behavior that you perform over and over at a specific time, so it becomes automatic and no longer requires much willpower to get it done. Did that make sense? That was a lot of words, okay? But did that make sense? The more things we can do and get into our habit, takes 21 days, they say, but the more things you can do habit that are good, you won't have to rely on temptation or, ooh, that looks good over there, or I'd rather do this, because you have a habit, you have a pattern, you have a ritual. And so if you want to change something in your life, like you want to lose 10 pounds or you want to know more scripture, then you have to put in a new ritual, a new habit. And as you do that, it'll become so readily available. I can relate this to dance. It's like dancing. There are things that we do that become motor memory because we do them over and over and over again. Now, if we learn wrong in anything, you have to undo what you've learned. And when you have to do that, it takes more effort than if you just do it right the first time. Isn't that true? So I always want to, like, if I'm going to learn something new or I'm going to do something different, I want to learn completely right so I don't have to back up and break a bad habit to start a new habit. Does that make sense? So we have to, in our minds, think about this. Okay, I want to learn something new, so I want to learn from the best because then I don't have to relearn it, right? So that's another golden nugget for you on the side. No, I'm not charging you for that. It's just free. So number two is take yourself out of harm's way. You can't easily lash yourself to a mast, but you can selectively avoid temptations. If you want to lose weight, which I already said, it makes sense to remove your favorite high-calorie foods from the shelves and to tell the waiter at restaurants not to bring the bread. That is so key right there, and it is so true. If you don't have the bread on your table and you don't smell it, it avoids you from having to want it so bad. I've done this, I know, firsthand. If I just tell them, you know, I don't want any bread, then I don't have to put myself through that torture of smelling that. Oh, can you just smell it? I can smell it right now. My mouth is watering. But that's how you avoid it, is by not putting it in front of you, right? And it's so easy to do if you just make that choice ahead of time. And that brings up another. Parents. I said this to my sister who had she has children a lot later in life, and so they're a lot younger. They're kind of like my grandkids. And she tells me frequently, she'll call me and she'll just say, Sue, they need some Sue discipline. I'm going to bring them over and you can have them for a day. And what I've told her is that, you know, discipline, it's like it doesn't get easier raising your children. It's just different each stage. And in order to be on top of it or ahead of it, you have to think ahead of what the consequence will be for whatever action might happen. What's the worst that can happen here with a child, for instance, give you example, a child who doesn't call or come home when they're supposed to? Well, we, at a certain age when they're younger, the consequence is, you know, stay in your room or, you know, whatever, you can't watch TV today or for an hour, which seems like a day for a child, a young child. But as the children get older, the consequence has to be more extreme. For instance, you don't get the car. You can't have the car keys when they're of teenage ages. If they can't show respect and responsibility or delayed gratification, then there has to be a consequence. But we have to be ahead of it. When they're 13, it's not going to matter if we keep the keys because they're not driving anyway. But when they're 15 and a half or 16, that car is a great tool to get what you need done, like good grades or studying or whatnot, right? But, you know, at 3 or 4, holding the keys back, it's not going to really have any effect at all. So, you know, the consequences have to match the crime. And you have to think, as mothers and fathers, what could happen here? What could be the negative? What could go wrong? And what's going to be the consequence when that happens? In the workplace, same thing, right? If somebody doesn't show up for work and their attendance is terrible, what do you do? What are the consequences for that? Well, of course, you write them up and you say, hey, we're noticing you're not coming to work on time and you're not being here regularly and we really need you here. You're valued. But what's the consequence? Well, the consequence can be, you know, we're going to suspend you for a day since, you know, you don't seem to care enough to come in. We're just going to give you another day off. You know, maybe that's a good consequence. Maybe it's not, but it does affect the pocketbook. So maybe it is a good consequence. I'm not sure, but that seems to be a natural consequence is, look, if you can't be here when you want to be here, then maybe we can decide when you're going to come and when you're not going to come, right? You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and we're talking about a master plan for taking back control of your life and giving you little tidbits along the way on how we can help you do that. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. If you want to get challenging work done, turn off your email entirely for a designated period of time, rather than try to resist that little ping that happens. And I can so relate to this. And if I turn off my phone, or if I say, you know what, I'm not going to be on my phone for a couple of hours, it's amazing what I can get accomplished if I don't have that little distraction that's just like those little bells and whistles that we have now, we didn't used to have. And so all of a sudden, it's like I feel like a ping pong ball sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Do you get that? Because it's true. We have all these little noises that come up and it's like, oh, that one's an email. Oh, that one's a text. Oh, that one's, you know. And so we tend to be distracted and we need to minimize distractions. Whatever you feel compelled to do, don't. The more powerfully driven you are to take instant action, the more likely you shouldn't. When the pull is intense, it's likely you've activated your fight or flight physiology. That's great when you're actually facing life or death situation and need to react instantly. In most life circumstances, it serves you better to reflect before you react, right? To live life with no regret, is that possible? No. Is it wonderful goal to strive for? Yes, my daughter said that a long time ago. She's now 30 and she says, Mom, I just want to live my life with no regret. Number four, sleep as much as you must to feel fully rested. I don't get enough sleep. I really, truly don't. People say, you know, gosh, I get a text from you at 3:30 in the morning. I get an email at 4. Do you ever sleep? Are you just getting up or are you just going to sleep? These are the comments I get. But my mind races. My mind goes a mile a minute. And I actually have to get up and I have to write things down or I have to do a voice recording on my phone. Something just to unload what's happening in my brain. If this helps you, then try it. Try it. Just have a notepad by your phone, by your bedpost, and just write down what's on your mind. And it's amazing. There's a lot of creativity that goes on when your brain's working like that. You really don't even know that you're really aware, but there's things that come up that I put into action, and they've been very, very successful. So it's really good to get the things out of your head and on paper so that you can look at them the next day and go, what was that? Or, wow, that's really a good idea. The other area where it's really funny, but when I brush my teeth, I have some of the best ideas. And I think it's because when I go to sleep, I kind of take a rest time. I actually take a bath to soothe my body, and I do it in salts because I want to detoxify my body and just purify it. And so I rest. Sometimes I fall asleep. And then I'll get up and, I put my pajamas on, and then I lay down in bed, and I sometimes listen to music, and sometimes I'll read a little something, and then I just kind of drift off to sleep. And during the night, you know, your brain doesn't stop working completely. You know, it doesn't just kind of go dead space. It's still working. So if there's an issue that I'm facing, I don't want it to cause me anxiety, but I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there in my brain. It's like, okay, Lord, you know, I'm giving this to you. This is a situation. That's what's going on with me. And I need answers. I need clarity in this situation and how to handle it. Do I talk to this person? What do I say? You know, these types of things. And then I put it to rest. And I close my eyes and I focus on breathing and I just try to go to sleep. When I wake up in the morning, I do this thing that I'm becoming ritualistic about. It's a habit of, before I put my feet on the ground, I say a prayer and I ask the Lord to guide my steps, to guide my thoughts, to guide my words to where I'm serving Him and I'm glorifying Him in anything I say and do. Am I always good? No. Do I fail? Yes. Dang it. But it's okay, because God has grace, and I'm so thankful for His grace and His mercies, and they're sufficient for me because He tells me they are. But then I go and I do what I normally do, and then I brush my teeth. And when I'm brushing my teeth, all of a sudden I have these aha moments. And it's not because it just popped into my head right then and there. It's because my mind has been working on this all evening long. So it's really important that we get enough sleep. For nearly 98% of us, that means at least 7 hours. Fatigue, says Vince Lombardi, makes cowards of us all. Specifically, it undermines our capacity for self-control, and we're more likely to default to instant gratification. The best sleep ritual is not just to choose a precise bedtime, but also to begin winding down at least 30 minutes before turning out the lights, which is what I was just saying, wasn't it? Do the most important thing first in the morning. How often do we put aside all those things and try to just get this little busy work done? We go to the busy work just to get it out of the way, right? You know, open the mail or check our emails or this or that. But if we really just put all of that noise away and focused on the most important thing that we needed to accomplish for that day and focused on it first thing in the morning when we're fresh and ready to go, it's amazing how the rest of the day plays out. I know when I've actually done this, it's really worked out well, so I would suggest giving that a try. That's when the vast majority of us have the most energy and the fewest distractions. Our energy reservoir diminishes as the day wears on, which is why it's so difficult to get to the hardest work late in the day. Conversely, the more focused you are, the higher the quality of work you'll do, and the more you'll get done. I often get more important work done during the first 90 minutes of the morning than in the rest of the hours of the day together. And that is so true. So meetings, you know, if you're going to have a meeting and it's like a focus group, best thing to do is to have it first thing in the morning when everybody's fresh, before the day's burdens like get on you. Eat energy-rich foods in small doses at frequent intervals. This is so key because our body needs to be constantly fueled, and we work through our fuel. So those that don't eat breakfast, change that. Make it a habit that you're going to eat breakfast. And don't just eat a lot of bread. You know, not pancakes, not waffles, but eat some protein. Eat some healthy food first thing in the morning. Fuel your body. Your body is a machine. This reminds me of a horse I once got. It was a free horse that I received, and it was 23 years old. His name was JJ. It was my first real owned horse. I ran a stables a long time ago, but it was my first horse that I actually owned, and the people gave it to me, 23 years old. It ran the Kentucky Derby. It came in, I don't know what place it came in, but it was a Kentucky Derby horse. So I felt very fortunate to have this horse, 23 years old, skin and bones, just really, really the hair on its back was just so, he just looked like he was ready to die. So I went to the feed store and I said, here's my situation. Here's what's going on with this horse. What should I feed it? And within, I am not kidding you, it was miraculous. But within 2 weeks of feeding this horse the diet that these people told me they were experts, and they told me what to give and what portions to give based on the weight and all this stuff. This horse, people saw it when I was walking it down the path, and they said, oh my gosh, what a beautiful horse. Is that like 9 years old? And I said, no. And they're saying, what did you do, when they realized it was this horse that everybody knew from before? And I said, it's just in the food. Just in the food can make that much difference. So how important is food to us? That was a horse. This is our holy temple. Our body is our temple. And we need to take really, really, really good care of it. So we need to eat small portions often, right? The more focused you are, the higher the quality of work you'll do, and the more you'll get done. Specifically, glucose literally fuels willpower. Unfortunately, the body can only make use of a limited amount at any given time. So we need to refuel at least every 3 hours. Sugars and simple carbohydrates provide a surge of energy that doesn't last, while lean proteins and complex carbohydrates provide a steadier, more enduring source of energy and therefore willpower. Sugar is not a good thing. Sodas, you guys, if you just got rid of sodas, I am telling you, your life would be much better. Your health would be much better. Sodas are a terrible thing to put in your body. So if you just do one thing that I'm telling you right now, get rid of sodas and you'll be better off. Okay? We will be back with more of the Sue Freeze Show right after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy Tyson stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic, 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreeze.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola. at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their two-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services. You know, it's really amazing because I have been telling you that we need more people, and we really do, and I just don't want anybody. I want the best of the best because you as a customer deserve the best of the best. And Ecola, we just want to deal with the best, okay? So we will train. You need to have a clean driving record. The DMV has to be clean. We do a fingerprinting, drug testing, all of those things because we want to make sure that the people we have working for us that are going into your homes are the people that you would feel secure having. And we have so many opportunities right now from San Diego all the way up to Orchid, which is by Santa Maria. So if you know anybody that needs a career, not a job, because we're not short-term employment. We are long-term employment, and we spend so much energy, so much time in grooming, teaching, educating, and not just about pest control. We are teaching our employees to be good stewards on how to budget their monies, to create new habits that are going to be better for them, to provide for their families. We do so many other things other than just take care of your home and your property, which is important, and it's so important. Diseases are minimized. There's just so many things that we do that I just feel very fortunate and very special and honored to be able to be part of what Ecola does. So with that being said, we have hired in the last 2 weeks seven or eight new employees, but we still need more. So if you know anybody in anywhere Southern Central California, we need them if they're got a great attitude. We will teach the skills, but we cannot teach attitude. Attitude is something that you have to decide you're going to have a good one or not a good one, right? And it's amazing. It's just a simple decision that we make that we're going to have a good attitude, and then we do. And we can catch ourselves and when we're complaining or having some bad attitude, and if we just say, oops, you know what? I don't want to be that type of person anymore. I'm just going to change. That's what happens. And learning to breathe. Let me tell you what's happening with this book. This book I wrote when I had an accident. I shattered my right leg. I am a competitive dancer, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to walk or dance anymore. My surgeon was great. He put me back together again. I have a metal plate, 10 pins in my leg. Happened June of 2011, and I am dancing again. I can still do the splits. Can't straighten my leg completely, but it's good enough. And I walk. Nobody can even tell that I have an issue unless you look at my leg and see this huge scar on my leg. That's not going to go away, and that's okay. I'm all right with that. Anyway, what's happened is I wrote this book when I was laid up, when all I could do was lay there. And the Lord was saying, be still and know that I am God. And I wrote a book. And the book is about, it's called Learning to Breathe, and it's about asthma. It's about my journey with my son, who's 33, works with me. His name's Tyson. And, you know, all the things that I learned and the fights that I had to put up with as far as learning how to deal with asthma and just all the new information. And it's part of the passion I have for Ecola, having alternative treatments to take care of a problem that's going to exist forever. You know, roaches have been here as long as dinosaurs have. And so they're not going to go away, which is good for me. You know, it's job security. But on the other hand, it's not so good if you're living with them, which I had to do when I was in college. I lived with roaches, and I tell you, they would be crawling on my ceiling and they'd fall down, and it freaked me out. And I thought, you know what? Nobody should have to live like this. Nobody should have to live with bugs like this. Now the bed bug thing. Oh, my goodness. So the Learning to Breathe book has been discovered. And I got this call from London saying, we have chosen your book to be featured at Litfire Publishing Festival in London. And we're very excited about it. And we've chosen 10 books. And I'm like, okay, how much do you want? What is this? Is this for real? And it is for real. And I talked to somebody that was born and raised in London. She goes, oh my goodness, Sue, this is the second largest book publishing festival in the world. And I'm like, are you really? And she says, yes, this is a huge thing. So in April, I am flying to London, and I am going to have my book featured, Learning to Breathe. And it is available if you go to Sue Free, spelt like fries, oneword.com. You can get the book. I will, you know, sign something on there and send it to you. Or you can go to Amazon and get it. And I also have another book. It's called The Change, because we are all changing, aren't we? And sometimes it's just helpful to have some, you know, some inspiration and encouragement to work through things that are going on in our lives. I know, you know, I've needed that so often, and I've needed prayer, and I've needed, boy, I can't imagine living life without my Heavenly Father, who gives me the strength, you know, to just get through and plow through problems and trials and tribulations in my life. And when I was a child, I used to remember that everything seemed life and death to me. Any situation, when I got married, when I was newly married, I can remember just the issues we had. I was so fearful that it was going to be the end of our relationship that I kind of just had anxiety so high. And then I realized, you know what, we're working through things and it's a journey. It's not all or nothing. It's a journey. As long as you have two people that are willing to work for this and work towards each other and to love each other, it can work. Not always does that happen, and I know that firsthand, but when it can, it's sure a beautiful thing to draw nearer to each other through our trials and tribulations to get a deeper understanding to what's going on with us. So Learning to Breathe is an amazing book. I highly recommend it to anybody that has any respiratory issues, asthma. If you know somebody, there's a whole chapter on extra little, you know, advice on how to handle it. So it's exciting. So getting back to taking control back in your life. We talked about food before the break. Do one thing at a time. Now, I am truly a multitasker, and I've been tested. I'm one of few that actually can multitask, but sometimes I think I would be more efficient and effective if I would just put everything aside and do one thing at a time. The only thing is, for me, I have a visual of me being an orchestrator, and my staff is my orchestra, and so I delegate well. And I look for who has the best gift in one area or another. And so I will have people that come into my office and I have to orchestrate. I inspire, I encourage, I educate, and I direct. And that's my job. I'm not to take on these things. I'm supposed to direct and coach and walk alongside those that I have under my care. And so doing that, I have to multitask, I feel. But it's sometimes I need to have one-on-one. And my one-on-one is being totally present, focused, without the phone, without anything, and be focused. 3 minutes, 5 minutes, not 30, not an hour normally. It's a very short conversation, but it's focused on this person and what the situation is. Recently, I have to say that, you know, when I took on E. coli, I just had my 16-year anniversary of owning E. coli. When I purchased it, I'm telling you, it was a huge chunk to take on, and the responsibility was overwhelming, and I just didn't know if I was going to be able to do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because I truly needed God's strength and courage to get through and to do what we've done. And we've come a long way, baby, and it's exciting. But when I did that, the Lord said, Sue, I need you to back off of the ministry that you had in your church. And I'm thinking, boy, that's just, I don't understand that. And the Lord said, your employees are your ministry now. So my employees are my ministry. That means that I'm the leader, and it's up to me to train them up, to guide them, to encourage them, to inspire them, and to help them understand what their gifts are so that they can be all they can be for God. So I don't take that lightly, and it's very important for me. Do I always win? Does it always work out? No, it doesn't always. But I have to just stay on the tried and true. I have to stay with the biblical principles and just know that God's got me. He's got me in all things, you know. California is a so happy state, and I can tell you that, you know, there are struggles. There's fights, and people are wanting something that they really don't, they don't have any right to have. But I still have to keep my chin up, and I still have to be focused on this. So with this, I have some men working for me, mostly men, actually. And a couple of them, I can tell they're struggling in their personal relationship, in their marriage. And I am taking time away from work, because I know that the struggle they're having at home is affecting their work, because how can it not? If you have personal issues, it's hard always to leave your personal issues at the door. And I realize that because I have personal issues too, and sometimes it's just they hang over you and they just don't go away. And so with that, I'll pull, you know, a gentleman in and I'll say, what's going on? I can tell that, you know, there's something going on with you. I don't know exactly, but I know there's something. And we'll have a little sit down, and I'm just realizing that all the struggles in marriage, parenting, that I've been through, that I've looked to my Bible and I've read scriptures and I've been to counseling, endless counseling, you know, and books, self-help books and whatnot. The amount of information that I've learned, the wisdom that I now have, which I'm still learning, and it really is a challenge, but it's also wonderful. It's a journey. But all that information, to be able to share it with somebody that's not got to the point where I am yet, and to help them in their marriage, help them in their relationship, is so I don't know. I can't even explain it. It feels so good, doesn't it, to give? And if I hadn't been through some of these trials and tribulations, I really wouldn't be able to help. And I think that in the Bible, that the Lord is using people that are struggling. They're not perfect people, are they? The characters or the people, the real people in the Bible, are people that are just like you and I. We have faults, we have failures, we sin. But the Lord uses them. And the message here for you is the Lord can use you too. You don't have to get your act together before you can be used for His glory. He wants you right here, right now, and He will work out the details. But He wants you. He loves you. He died for you. He gave His only Son just for you so that you can experience His love. And you might, it might be a love that you've never experienced in your own house, in your own, you know, family unit. So it might be something so foreign to you that you don't even know what to think or how to feel. But the Bible will reveal, and if you ask the Lord to bring people in your life to show you what He's talking about, that unconditional love, kind of like my dog. It's amazing, you know, you can abuse a dog and they still come back and lick your hand. It's amazing to me how that happens. And I'm not saying that if you're being abused to go ahead and get back for more. I'm not saying that, so please don't mix my words. I think you understand what I'm saying, though. Someone needed to hear that. Maybe it was you. And if it was you and you're feeling a tug in your heart or you're crying right now, you know, that's the Holy Spirit touching you. That's the Holy Spirit touching you and just saying, I'm here. I'm here and I want you and I love you. And all you need to do is look up, reach up, and ask Him into your heart. And He'll come. But He's a gentleman and He's not going to come. He's not going to shake you. He's not going to, you know, say, you need me. He's just going to be there patiently waiting. He's looking down on you and smiling and saying, I'm right here. I'm right here for you. Just ask me and I'll be there. So if that's you, just do that. That's all you need to do. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Do one thing at a time. What is that one thing? With so much coming at us so relentlessly, emails, texts, people, and information, we assume the only way to get to it all is to juggle multiple tasks at the same time. In fact, moving between tasks creates something called switching time. When you shift attention from one focus to attention to another, the average time it takes to finish the first task increases by at least 25% for the average bear. That's not everybody. But the multitude, then, is true. So it's much better to clear away and just focus on the one thing that you need to focus on. Get that done and move to the next thing. So that's up to you. You can take it or leave it, but it's there for you. And then number 8 is work in sprints. That's interesting. Human beings aren't meant to operate like computers at high speeds continuously. We're designed to pulse between spending and renewing energy. Ultradian rhythm is written here, and it says it refers to a 90-minute cycle inside us, during which we move from a state of higher physiological arousal progressively down toward fatigue. Focus intensely, ideally without interruption, for no more than 90 minutes at a time, then take a real break for at least a few minutes to relax emotionally, give the mind a rest, and physically recharge. So 90 minutes, okay? So you can even look at the clock and say 90 minutes. Now at work, I give people breaks every 2 hours. They get a 10-minute break or a lunch in every 2-hour interval. So that almost fits the same, but 90 minutes is where you can get the most done. So stride for 90 minutes and get something done. And you'll find that you're going to get more productivity done. It's amazing when we're under pressure how much we can get done. And I've said to my staff, I said, it's amazing how much we get done when we have a deadline. And if we did that every day, wow. But that would just be incredibly strenuous, I think. But it'd be amazing how much we get done if we could do that. Above all else, it's critical to ground yourself in deeply held values. Knowing what you stand for is a uniquely powerful fuel for behavior, especially when the going gets tough and the temptation is to take the easy route. If you're clear about who you want to be in any given situation, non-negotiably, the temptations aren't as alluring. Isn't that true? We have to be steadfast. We have to stand tall. We have to stand firm. It's like the tree that's firmly planted. You know, the wind will blow and cause us to try to get off, but if we're firmly planted, Now, I can relate this. I just had this meeting on Monday with my staff. Here we're hiring all these people in the last, I just said that, you know, we've hired so many new people. And what I'm telling my key staff is the foundation starts at the very beginning. We have to have a firm, strong foundation with these new hires. They need to feel like they belong, and they need to be educated as far as we can educate them, so when we give them wings and have them fly to whatever office they're going to go to, and they're going to be, attracted to different method maybe, or a different personality or whatever, that they have a strong foundation, that we give them what they need in order to be equipped to be able to be successful. So it's really important that we have the baseline, that we have the foundation firmly set so that they won't waver and that they're going to understand what's needed, the expectations are clear. And in any relationship, we have to know who we are. Right? We have to know what we are made of, what we're about. Who are you anyway? You know, if somebody asked you that, what would you say? Who are you? Not what's your name, but that is part of you, and not what you do, but what makes you tick? Who are you? And when you figure that out, it's not so easy to be tempted and to get blown with the wind, because you're firmly planted and you're going to be strong about what you stand for, what you'll stand up for, what you'll vocalize, what you'll be bold about, and what maybe is not that important, and what battles are you going to fight, and what battles aren't worth fighting. But you have to decide that for yourself, but you have to know what those are. And if you're dating, or if you're single and you're thinking about dating or courting, whatever your term is, you have to know what's important to you. What are your non-negotiables? And whether you're first time out the gate and you're young, or you've been married and now you're divorced. If you are in that relationship section where, you know, you're involving yourself in new relationships, in order for you to be complete, you need to be who you need to know who you are, and you need to know what's important to you. And I say, write a list of what is most important, because, you know, this could be very attractive over here, but if it doesn't fit with your basic needs and your basic values, then it's not going to work, is it? It's just not going to work. No matter how much you want to fit this square into this round hole, it's not going to fit. Same with employees. If I hire somebody and the need is over here, but their gifts are over here, that's never going to work. Not to the maximum that we want it to. The potential is not where it could be if we had the right mix. So it's important that we're clear on who we are, what we stand for, right? You know, as a leader, whether it's a leader in your household or leader for a business, there are some scriptures that stand true. And I think all of us are leaders because there's somebody watching us. So Luke 6:31 says, "Do to others as you would like them to do to you." Do we all do that? Are there times in our lives where we treat people not in the manner in which we would want to be treated? And if it's true and it's just one of those fluke things where we realize we did something wrong or we could have done things better, do we take the time to evaluate it, and do we take the time to go ask for an apology? Do we take the time to make sure that those relationships are clean? We need to do that. In Philippians 2:3, it says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. To be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves." Do we do that? Are we humble? You know, I look at my life and I look at the accomplishments, but I also look at the trials and tribulations that I've been through. And when I look at those things and I look at what has been endured, I'm so thankful for the people that didn't think they were high and mighty, but they cared enough to serve and to be there to pick me up. And I think about those people, and those people mean so much to me. And it wasn't out of their strength. It was out of their humbleness and their desire to serve that created the beauty and the gift. So when I look at that and I evaluate me, I evaluate that. And I want to be that humble servant. I want to be the person that is thinking about the other person more than myself. Do I always do that? No. Do I fall short? Yes. But I evaluate and I try to make myself better. I challenge and strive for better each day. And if we do that, I can look at myself in the mirror and say, okay, yeah, I'm doing all right because I'm putting other people before myself. And I try to be humble in everything that I'm doing. Sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes, you know, there's a fight in me. Is there a fight in you sometimes? Is there a fight that just says, oh, heck no, that's not going to happen that way? And then I go, okay, all right, what part am I playing in this? What's the lesson, Lord? What can I do better? What can I do different to be a better person, to be a better example for those that are watching? Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That's a whole radio show on its own. Guard your heart above all else. You know, I don't think any one of us wants to get in a relationship and to be hurt, do we? And boy, we all know what it's like to be hurt, whether it's been a high school breakup or a parent who hurt us or an employer who hurt us. It doesn't feel good, does it, to be hurt? And once we've been hurt, it's like, you know, as a mother, I want to guard my children and I never want them to feel pain. I hurt when they hurt and I just wish I could take the pain away. You know what I mean? But we can't. And those lessons for them, just like the lessons for us, create a stronger us. So it's good to guard to a certain degree, but our children need to face the fire and our children need to suffer consequences for their actions. And our employees, same thing. We need to do that. We need to be there and we can support, but we need to, you know, walk through and let them know we love them. But sometimes it's, you know, love, but not, not saying that it's okay to do what they've done, you know. So we have to be there to pick up the pieces sometimes and to love on them, but we have to be clear and honest about what our goals are for them. And that kind of keeps us in check, doesn't it? In Exodus 18:21, it says, select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. See, now that message right there for leaders, especially in business, is that you have to surround yourself with people that you want to be surrounded by, that you want to become more like. And, you know, as married men, married women, don't we want to do the same? Don't we want to emulate those that we hang around with? Well, we want to if they're good and they're better than we are in some area of our lives. If they are more in tune to God, if they have a better relationship with God, we hang out with them and then we become more like that. You are who you hang with. So I always told my children that. So you are who you hang with. So pick your children wisely. Pick your friends wisely. And I'm going to just leave you with that. So be a blessing to someone each and every day, okay? And get rid of the clutter out of your life. And Roland said something. He said mental real estate. So whether it's clutter in your brain or clutter on your desk, let's take action and control what's taking time away from those things that really matter. God bless you. Until next week.
This has been the Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.